Hello, and welcome to a Radio Current Affairs Summer Special. I'm Mark Colvin. Once forgotten, the Aboriginal and Islander people who went off to fight for Australia in the First World War have been getting increasing recognition 100 years later. But many of the stories of soldiers who had to hide their true identity to fight are still untold. Some of their names are still not honoured in the Australian War Memorial, despite their active service. Aboriginal people were legally excluded from serving in the armed forces, but that didn't stop hundreds of them from lying about their heritage so they could fight for their nation. They were equals on the battlefield, but when they returned, they were not given the recognition or entitlements that they deserved. Nance Haxton reports.
More than 400 Indigenous young men went to fight in World War I, despite the Commonwealth Defence Act prohibiting any person not of substantially European origin from serving. They lied about their identity so they could fight for their country. On the battlefront, they were largely treated the same as the non-Indigenous soldiers they stood side by side with. And for many, it was their first taste of freedom away from their lives on reserves and missions, where there were restrictions on movement, residence, employment and citizenship.
People don't really believe it, and you wouldn't believe it because you're not. It doesn't happen to white fellas. And so unless people speak out and share the stories and people understand the real history that's going on, you're not aware of it.
Jack Lander's granddaughter, Di Andrews, has heard the stories, and the more she hears about the lack of recognition, the sadder she gets. Her family has fought for decades since her grandfather's death for his service in the 3rd Light Horse in World War I to be properly honoured at the Australian War Memorial.
He was a horse breaker, so when the 1st Light Horse went in World War I, he trained all the horses and a lot of the Light Horse soldiers to ride a horse, and he trained the horses to go. He wasn't eligible as an Aboriginal man to go, and so he stayed behind continuing to prepare the horses. After so many people were killed, they said to Grandfather, you know, well, we need you. We'll just turn a blind eye to the fact that you're Aboriginal.
Jack Lander survived his war experience, but he returned home to New South Wales a broken man.
He went off on the 3rd Light Horse and luckily came back. Very, very broken and very, very unhappy about it because he loves horses. And so, you know, he saw what was happening, you know, on the war front, not only to the horses and to the men, but, you know, it really had an enormous impact on him. But what was, I guess, for us, we lived through the fact that he did that. He went and served his country, and then he didn't get any of the entitlements when he returned. And so he was then shunned from society. And so he signed up in 1917, and in 1945 he was then issued with the Black Passport, which then treated him a complete outsider again in his own country. So he wasn't able to move from outside of his area or across state boundaries unless he had the Black Passport on him. So that story is not known in this country, but it's my story.
Did he have any recognition of this before he died?
No. No, and he died in the late 60s. So, you know, I guess, but we all know the story, and continues to live on. His name is still not on the official war memorial, and when, you know, that is something that I will make sure before I die is done.
Di Andrews' quest for better recognition for her grandfather and others like him led to her organising a special commemorative service. The Redland City Council, southeast of Brisbane, created an honour roll of Indigenous people who fought for their country. Hundreds of people made their way to the Cleveland Town Square when the council put on a special ceremony during NAIDOC Week in July. More than 60 names were read out, their service stretching from World War I to more recent conflicts.
QX20041, Private Mervyn Islam.
Each family rose in acknowledgement as the names of their relatives were finally put on the public record.
QX29724, Sapper Cecil Islam.
The Redlands area incorporates beautiful Moreton Bay, an area rich in Indigenous history. The Ode of Remembrance was read in the Jundai language of the local Quandamooka people.
Bajayenda Nyanbali, Gurubia Barui Yenda, Bidi Jabu Kujaneva, Nyali Nyanbala Dama, Nyali Yenda Dama. Lest we forget.
Lest we forget.
This simple act meant a lot to elders of the community. 91-year-old Arthur Day was one of three brothers who signed up to fight for their country. He served in World War II, and he brought a special reminder of his service to put on display. It's a precious silk prayer cloth, painted as a form of protection by a Japanese soldier on his way to battle. His son-in-law, Dennis Kerr, is a Vietnam veteran and says he is relieved and proud to see Arthur's deeds properly recognised.
The way the Indigenous people were equal when they were in the services fighting for their country, but as soon as they left the services, they were no longer equal. And I think that what us Vietnam vets suffered was nothing compared to the Indigenous people.
Get the acknowledgement that returning soldiers...
They weren't even able to go into an RSL. You know, that's how silly it was.
Is it good to see it perhaps righted in some way today with a ceremony like this?
Yeah, look, I think it's little pieces at a time. It's never going to be completely righted. Probably not in my lifetime, maybe not in your lifetime. But I think it's important that we keep chipping away. We keep doing everything we can to show the respect and honour that our Indigenous people deserve.
That's just life, that's all. When I say, I was there at the right time, and then boom, you're in.
Was it good, the ceremony today, to see your service acknowledged?
Oh, yes. It's very, very, very well.
And to hear the names on the honour roll?
Yes.
Well, to hear his two brothers' names and his own name again, which is really good. He's a very proud man, very proud of his service, and I think that's great.
Rose Borey's uncle Richard Martin went to Gallipoli with the 15th Battalion. Her family proudly displayed a rare dead man's penny sent to them when Richard Martin died on the battlefield. It's a small part of a special exhibition of wartime memorabilia on show as the honour roll is read out. Her husband Thornton Borey also served in World War II.
It didn't mean a lot to us today.
Well, it must mean a lot to you to see his possessions on display like this.
Yes.
And hear his name on the honour roll.
I never ever thought we'd see anything like this.
Cameron Costello stepped up on behalf of his grandfather.
You know, just to hear how all of our elders, fought for Australia, and they weren't even classed as citizens at the time. So it just says something about, you know, Aboriginal people extending the hand of friendship. And, it was just an honour. It's a great day.
And to see the elders standing as well when the names were read out?
Yeah, to see families get up so proud, you know, that when you called out their name, and just to see them, you know, the elders of the family and even the younger generation getting up, and that's, you know, that's what we do, lest we forget, you know, so it's good to see our younger ones getting up as well.
Redland City Council Mayor Karen Williams says when they put out the call to the community for information about their loved ones, the response was extraordinary.
To in fact have these people who haven't been recognised officially now being on that notional honour roll is really, really important. So it will be an ongoing project. And no doubt something that other cities and parts of Australia would probably like to take on board.
Di Andrews says the response of the community to the service was far beyond even her hopes.
Yeah, absolutely. When we hosted the event, when we were preparing for it, people said to me, how many chairs do you think we should put out in the square? And I said, oh, maximum of 60, you know, that'll be a good turn-up. And 60 were taken up in the first 10 minutes, I think, and the mayor said to me at one stage, how many people do you think's coming? And I said, well, there's already a few hundred here, more than I expected. I don't know how many's coming. The final count was that 350 people turned up to the square.
And it must be very rewarding for you to see that on a local level, that those families were acknowledged on that day as well?
Very, very. And I guess it is my story is the same as their story, because I know what it means not to have the acknowledgements and not to have the respect shown.
Di Andrews is not alone. Her voice has been joined by others calling for better recognition of Indigenous veterans. Brisbane's Anzac Square. Australian servicemen stand guard around the eternal flame. As part of Reconciliation Week, this service is acknowledging a select group, Indigenous servicemen and women. Diane Russell is the daughter of Len Waters, the first Aboriginal fighter pilot and a man who served his nation in Borneo and New Guinea in World War II. She says the treatment he received when he returned home fell far short of what he deserved.
Well, he was a pretty special sort of a person. He was the only Aboriginal fighter pilot in the Second World War, the only one to date. He wasn't, you know, didn't have a huge education. He educated himself, and he achieved something that no one else has ever been able to do.
Well, what's important about ceremonies like this, do you think?
Oh, just recognition more than anything, and making sure that people realise that we are human beings and we are, you know, we do our part for Australia as well.
When he returned, despite his decorations and service, Len Waters could not get work worthy of his experience. Dr. Tom Calmer is the Chancellor of the University of Canberra and a member of the National Reserve Support Council.
One of the most decorated Australian pilots during World War II. I think he flew something like 97 or so sorties and very active during World War II. And the irony is that when he returned to Australia, he couldn't get a job as a pilot, had a lot of difficulty getting a job full stop, and so he ended up reverting to his previous experience as a shearer.
Dr. Calmer says Len Waters was one of many Aboriginal people who suffered after coming back from war. Everything from not receiving entitlements to not being allowed into RSLs.
They weren't given the due recognition. They weren't able to participate in activities associated with the RSL, which is the main body that represents returning soldiers. You know, they weren't able to get access at the time through the soldier settler grant scheme. Many did suffer the inability to be able to, you know, get engaged in employment. And so whilst there was high regard for people when they were serving, society, when they got out, didn't help.
Most returned Indigenous servicemen were denied their small allotment of land under the Returned Servicemen Settlement Scheme, and many were moved on from reserve land where they lived when it was resumed for white settlers. The well-known social justice campaigner says proper recognition of Indigenous service is a crucial step in the journey towards reconciliation.
Leading up to the centenary of the First World War and Gallipoli landing, we're trying to really raise awareness for the whole of Australia to recognise that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but particularly Aboriginal people, have fought in every war that Australia has had offshore. And that's not counting, you know, the guerrilla resistance and other activity that happened onshore as part of and post-colonisation.
So that goes right back to the Boer War?
Oh, from the Boer War onwards, yes. We've had Indigenous veterans fighting in those wars.
And why was it that they couldn't be honest about their identity?
We didn't have the recognition as a people in the country. It's commonly referred to the 67 referendum as the time that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, in fact, were able to be counted on the census of Australia, which then meant that we were recognised as peoples of Australia. Prior to that, we weren't on the census, on the national census, and therefore, you know, or we're often colloquially categorised as flora and fauna.
And how long did this continue for? When were Aboriginal people really able to own their identity when enlisting in the armed forces?
Well, it did change. And I think after Australia found that they were running out of the non-Indigenous volunteers, and so Indigenous people were then allowed, it was much more relaxed to allow them to enter and to sign up in their own right. As Aboriginal people, and I think that was around the time of the, the Second World War.
The Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Studies and the National Centre for Indigenous Studies have travelled around the country recording oral histories about Indigenous veterans. More than 3,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people served in the Defence Forces in World War II. That paved the way to better citizenship rights. When in 1949 the Commonwealth Government granted the right to vote in federal elections to Indigenous people who had completed military service. RSL Queensland Branch Operations Manager Peter Costa says special ceremonies such as the Brisbane service hopefully go some way to recognising the sacrifice of Indigenous soldiers.
RSL Queensland aims to support Indigenous veterans and recognise their service to our country from not only recent times but also recognising that Indigenous Australians have been serving our country so well since before we even formed as a nation. The service dates back to the Boer War and they've been very important members of recent conflict in Afghanistan, Iraq and East Timor and continuing to serve our nation very well. We try to commemorate this event, you know, to make sure that the service that Indigenous people provide to the ADF is recognised and that it is not forgotten.
Adrian Heppy served in the Medical Corps in Townsville and is now an Aboriginal health worker in remote communities in Queensland.
I saw lots of negativity when I served, but we were able to move forward, as you do. And the thing about it today is it's a great opportunity for a lot of the recognition for a lot of the servicemen that were back in the old days, as you can imagine. And I'm here to pay my respects to those elders that aren't here today and some of our older diggers from Vietnam and also for the new ones that are returning from Afghanistan. Because what I've seen is that with the PTSD, we're going to have a huge increase. So it's about support for those diggers.
The lives of Indigenous diggers who served in World War I and their experiences when their service was not recognised on their return home were woven into the production of the play Black Diggers. The Queensland Theatre Company brought it to the stage as part of the Brisbane Festival.
Sorry, mate, you can't come in here. Why not? Because you're not a citizen.
It's been a long road for director Wesley Enoch.
It's pretty much the untold story. Many people might know about Indigenous soldiers going to World War II or to Vietnam or other theatres of war, but I think somehow the story of World War I and Indigenous participation has stepped out of our living memory. We don't know about it so much.
The play goes on a journey with Aboriginal veterans as they recount their stories from Australia to the battlefields of Gallipoli, Palestine and Flanders. Cast member Hunter Page Lachard says he had no idea of the injustice Aboriginal diggers faced until he started researching his role.
When they come back home, it was worse. You know, people didn't believe that you served.
And especially for you as a young man as well, to be able to tell that story?
Yeah, definitely. As a part of the new generation, in a sense, it's uplifting and it's a honour. It's an honour.
Fellow ensemble member Guy Simon went on his own personal journey through Black Diggers, discovering that one of his ancestors served in World War I.
There was a book, and at the back of the book were a list of diggers. So I looked in and I went, oh, so maybe I should... There's got to be a Simon in there. So I looked and there was one Simon. And so I looked and it was his name was William Nip Simon. And I was like, oh, okay, so where is he from? Where is he from? From Foster, Tuncurry, Tariwe. That's where my people are from. And I just thought, okay, so he's got to be related to me. He's got to be related to me. And I immediately called my dad and I said, so who is this man? Do we know a William Nip Simon? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I'll talk to my brothers about it. And about 10 minutes later, I get a call from Dad saying, yeah, I just spoke to your uncle and that's your great-granddad. I had no idea about this man and he's gone over to the Western Front.
But having that connection, has that helped you in preparation, do you think?
Yeah, yeah. It makes the story even more weighted. Every time I go on stage, it's not just a play. It's so much more. These stories you feel an obligation to tell them right.
Oh, oh Jesus! Oh, Jesus! Oh, Jesus. And now, God, kill it down.
Uncle George Bostock brought his experience serving in Vietnam and Borneo to the stage and also to the cast.
Being a veteran myself, but I believe that this is the tip of the iceberg. The researchers who are doing this, and Wesley Enoch himself and Gary Oakley from the War Memorial and that, they're saying now that people have seen the show, heard about the show, and they're ringing them up and saying, we've got a story to tell you. So these people, families now of veterans, are coming up with their stories.
Wesley Enoch is the first Indigenous person to head a state theatre company in Australia. This production is his chance to correct the historical record.
Indigenous Australians have played an active role in everything that this country has done. There's sometimes a forgetting, a very convenient forgetting of what Indigenous Australians have done. And I think World War I is one of those things, when we have this commemoration, to say, in fact, this nation has been a very diverse nation for a very long time. I know, we look back and we think of our mythology as a very white Anglo-Saxon mythology, but in fact it's always diverse and we've been conveniently forgetting that.
The success of Black Diggers means the story will now be told on a 3-month tour across Australia from February, with the show performing from Perth to Bendigo. Dr. Tom Calmer says it is plays such as Black Diggers that help prompt a country to look at its history and collectively make a more accurate historical archive.
They didn't suffer the same level of discrimination inside the forces as they did when they got out, or they returned to Australia, or they left the military and went into society. And so we're seeing now, it happens over time, it's never excusable, but it's a situation, and we saw that with the Vietnam vets themselves, where there were a lot of issues when they returned. Well, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander military people have also had their challenges, even within the RSL and recognition and full and unfettered access to the RSL. That's changed a lot now, but over time, you know, they just haven't had the same level of acceptance and recognition. And that's borne out when the soldier settlement grants, land grants were given to returning soldiers. I think there's only one or two recorded cases of an Aboriginal person being able to get access to those land grants where other people that fought and who fought side by side with them were able to get the soldier settler grants. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people weren't able to do that. So hopefully those practices of the past are in the past and that we're able to move forward. The support agencies for the service people didn't provide the same level of service to Indigenous people as they did to non-Indigenous returning service people, and so that is changing. It has changed. I think it will change as both the military and society in Australia start to get that greater recognition.
For Di Andrews, the increasing reach of shows such as Black Diggers brings her hope that proper recognition is coming for her Aboriginal grandfather and others like him who served their country without acknowledgement of their sacrifice.
It took us a 20-year battle with the RSL to have the proper acknowledgements on his tombstone. So my next challenge is to have his name officially in the war records.
It's a bit of an indictment that this is still happening, really, in this time, isn't it?
And I think, Nance, what you're doing in terms of the story is promoting to mainstream society that this is still happening. People don't really believe it. And you wouldn't believe it because it doesn't happen to white fellas. And so unless people speak out and share the stories and people understand the real history that's going on, you're not aware of it.
How important is it for you, even though your grandfather has died, that this historical wrong is righted?
Oh, incredibly important. And I think just knowing how proud he was and the sorts of sacrifices that all the family made. You know, he personally made the greatest sacrifice. So just that small acknowledgement, it means enormous, not only to me but to so many in the family. Their legacy lives on. They still live on through our stories and our memories, and they live on in our hearts. And to have them acknowledged and honoured was very, very important to people.
Di Andrews, ending that report by Nance Haxton. You've been listening to a Radio Current Affairs Summer Special. I'm Mark Colvin. Thanks for being with me.